part two of Week in the Universe, where we discuss 205 Live and NXT. Because Dexter Critchman is back once again.
Let's talk about the beatdown. Come on.
Tozawa to the top. Tozawa, nobody home.
Drew Gulak is back with the PowerPoint presentation.
I didn't like this so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two of Week in the Universe. We are just days away from the epic collision that is Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne. However, ladies and gentlemen, we have NXT and 205 Live to discuss. I say disgust because, frankly, I am disgusted with these two products. So.
Jesus Christ.
Hey. Introductions, please. Yeah. I am your host, Premier Supreme Overlord of the Smark. I am the reigning defending PvP champion and will be after this Sunday at Smarly Babby Boo. You dare to challenge the king for his throne? Unacceptable. But until then, I am your loving host, Amira Zanetti, and joining me this week is a man who knows all about thrones, sitting on one all the time while he's having a shit because he is in charge of team shit, Dexter Critchman.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and go team shit. Anyway, moving on.
Go team shit. Yeah, because that sounds good on a fucking marquee, doesn't it? Let's go team shit. Yeah. Let's go team shit. Hey, when you lose, anyway. Can you chant like the WWE fans, this is shit, this is shit.
Actually, speaking of
this
shit.
This is shovel. Speaking of shit. Purple Brand.
Speaking of. Oh,
let's talk
my
about
God.
Something very good, but completely inconsequential. 205 Live, cue that fucking music.
Lesson number two. There's more than one way to win a match. You understand me?
I'm not playing a gentleman. I am a gentleman.
I have laid waste to Pretender. Hasta Pretender.
Thanks to Critchman. This week there was some wrestling on 205 Live. Now then, NXT. Oh, wait. So, 205 Live.
Live.
205 Live. Okay. So, what we'll do, we'll run down 205 Live quickly, and then I want to have a massive, massive, massive rant about what can be done to save this absolute misery, this shell of a show. So, mostly, it was wrestling, which was good. The premier part of the wrestling was the tag match. So, we had a rematch from the pay-per-view match that they had, and also, well, they've had numerous iterations of this match, but once again, it was the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher facing the clowns, so to speak, that are Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander in Cedric Alexander's hometown. P.S. Nobody gave two fucks. I just thought I'd find that out. It was like, from Charlotte, North Carolina! And I was like, one person went, woo! The rest of them were like, get on with it.
We don't fucking want to see cruiserweights, goddammit. Get these pieces of shit off my TV.
It was, nobody gave two fucks. So.
Which is sad.
Outcomes, yeah, it was sad. So out comes Cedric Alexander. This match was fucking incredible. I actually thought this match was fucking amazing. This was a 4.5-star one. This was genuinely brilliant, this match. But the crowd gave zero fucks. Literally, the crowd were dead. And some of the moves were fucking harsh. When he fucking went for the suicide dive and caught Jack Gallagher in the tornado DDT on the outside and spiked him. Really horrible bump. The standing Spanish fly as well. Oh my God.
That was amazing.
Goodness. I was like, oh, fucking. Jack Gallagher was doing serious bumping work in this match. He was badass throughout. But
the
reality
the top
is,
rope, what? The top rope.
What? The beel? What, when he threw him off, like Rich Swann, and he basically did a 450 onto his face. It's fucking savage. I'm also enjoying the dynamic between Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness more. We're starting to get that appearance of Nigel McGuinness you know, good wrestler, good commentator, but ultimately still a bit heelish. You know, he's the guy who supports the heels. He's kind of like a very lightweight Jerry Lawler in this, in respect to the fact that he doesn't molest people. But Nigel McGuinness, cheap shots fired. Come at me, Jerry Lawler. What are you going to do? Fucking have a stroke on me, dickhead. that one might have to go on the outtakes. I'll see how I feel. What did you like this match? Because I know you think 205 Live is boring, but you must have thought from a wrestling standpoint, holy fuck, this match.
Oh, from a wrestling standpoint, 205 Live hasn't lost a damn step. The problem is that that's all we've got is wrestling. The storyline, the thing that actually keeps a lot of people coming back day after day is kind of not there. We've kind of got really good matches and no substance behind them.
I've got a storyline for you. I'm going to call you a clown. That'll do. Like, who's writing this? Who's literally going,
do we have a writer?
Something about black guys wearing makeup. Next, please. Terrible. I get the impression that nobody actually writes for 205 Live. They literally are just like, well, fuck it. Go out there and have a good wrestling match. And I'll get to it later when we wrap up 205 Live, because I've got some really good points. And I think we should revisit a topic that we looked at very, very early doors when this product was first struggling. And me and you discussed ways to improve it, because I've come up with some new ideas. But
okay,
overall, this match was fantastic. And if this match, right, was the main event of an indie show in Britain, or if this match was in the mid-card of a SmackDown or Raw, eventually people would have been losing their mind. But you have conditioned people to not give a fuck. You've basically told people, this is shit, don't watch it. You actually went out on TV, and by putting it on the main event and saying, and having Enzo Amore come out and say, nobody gives a fuck about 205 Live until I'm on it, what you're essentially saying is, oh, it's actually quite shit until we put Enzo Amore on it. And now fans are like, well, if it was shit then, it's shit now because you've got Ratface Naka running around with the Zoe Show, which nobody gives a fuck about. So, yeah. Do you know what? Poor. Very poor. And it's a shame because this match was fucking brilliant. This was by far and away. Now, I don't say this lightly because Natalya and Charlotte had an incredible title match on SmackDown. It was really special. It's one of my favorite emotional matches I've seen from women in many a year. But from a pure wrestling standpoint, this was by far and away the best match WWE had all week. And nobody gave a fucking shit. Not even Cedric Alexander's family, who were apparently in the front row. If they were, they were probably on their smartphones because I didn't see nothing going on down there. People didn't care. And yet these guys murdered each other for the sake of barely a cheer. That's really sad because there were a lot of moves in here that would have been put in. These are the kind of moves that you would expect to see in an AJ Styles match at WrestleMania, and here they are being thrown out on a completely irrelevant episode of 205 Live. And maybe that's the problem, you're giving everything so much, but when I see four guys work so hard and get literally nothing in return from the fans, it's actually quite depressing. And somebody has to pay for that. And I don't think the wrestlers should be. I think the people backstage should be. And I think people like Vince McMahon at the very top, they need to take a long, hard look at this product and say, hey, these guys are breaking their balls for us, and we're not even giving them the opportunity to be cheered.
Right. And it kind of needs to... We need a way to fix it, which we need to talk
fix
about.
It,
but
fix
this
it,
match
fix
was...
It. Fix it.
Need to fix it. Let's cover the rest of 205 Live.
Yeah,
what else?
More wrestling, basically. Mustafa Ali versus Arya Daivari, who, by the way...
Which was a good match.
Yeah, another great match. Arya Daivari is so good on the mic. I love it when he just randomly starts screaming Arabic and everyone's like, fuck you, you piece of foreign shit! Like, because people can't handle the idea of a foreign language. They get so angry. But what language offends more in America than Arabic? Come on. And he doesn't give a shit. Not only that, he's then channeling his little bit of Enzo Amore, because he's part of his little crew in a way, isn't he? He's like, I'm all about making money, Daivari, De Niro, and all this. I think he's fucking good. Really good. And not only that, he is top quality in the ring as well. Arya Daivari might be the most underrated wrestler in the entire company.
You know, I'd agree with that. I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
You know. Oh, good news, Dexter Crispin. You've probably seen, but James Ellsworth got a release.
Aw, I don't get to rant about him anymore. I'm kind
of
sad now.
No more hatred of Dex. Yeah, no more hatred of James Ellsworth. He's now going to go on to main event every indie promotion ever, which is terrifying in itself. Can you imagine it? The main event of PWG Battle of Los Angeles. Ricochet, Marty Scurll, James Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth. What?
Excuse me while I just give you back my ticket. Covered in fecal matter! Unacceptable.
Oh my god.
So, yeah,
what did you think of Ali
versus Daivari?
I actually like the dynamic between these two. Ali comes out after right before the match and literally rips on him.
You look stupid. You look stupid, man. Hey, I'm fun time Arab. He's bad time Arab. I could just see Vince McMahon watching this. Like, one of us are fucking terrorists, but the other one gives out candy, so it all works out nicely for the audience. It's just very strange. Very strange.
The wrestling match is
like,
very
don't
good.
Be racist to me. Be racist to him.
And it works out really nicely for the two of them because the two of them wrestled a very good match, very solid match, and the spots were nice. And I can't fault anything in the damn match other than being maybe a little short.
Yeah, no, another one, great match. But the problem is as well, like we mentioned in the last match, no storyline to speak of. What is the storyline here? I'm Arab, I'm rich. I'm Arab, I'm not rich. That was ridiculous. Like, nothing to get your teeth into. And Ali is really charismatic and a nice guy, and he's a good-looking guy, too. Like, he could really magnetize with people. And do you know what? I love his Twitter as well. Like, we go on with a lot of bullshit and making random hateful jokes and bollocks like that just to try and entertain you guys more than anything. But realistically, like, I go on Mustafa Ali's account. He's always preaching about love and tolerance and things like that. He really does use his social media for good. So I wanted to give him a quick shout-out in that respect as well. He's just a lovely all-round person. And Arya Daivari, the same as well, raising awareness for the racial issues that plague so many countries, not just America. It's just as bad over here, guys. So, you know what? Take your heads out of your asses and stop acting like America is the only place where racism occurs. It happens everywhere. And, you know, these guys are actually using it as a platform to further the betterment of the world. And it's just sad because nobody seems to give a flying shit about the product that they're on. And the reality is, not only are they good stand-up human beings, but they're also world-class athletes. They're actually good at what they do, and they're good mic workers. And once again, this really was a swing and a miss for 205 Live. Speaking of swing and a miss, Kalisto wrestled Drew Gulak.
Yawn.
With Enzo Amore at ringside with, what do we got over here? A cup of party favors? Cup of party favors? Can I just say something? Kalisto is so fucking boring. He's so shit on the mic. All right, Le Jefe. It's like, yeah, you're fucking special needs Eddie Guerrero. Nobody cares. Go away. You know, I don't care. And he seems like a lovely guy, but he has zero charisma. He's so boring. And the promo. Why are we celebrating his birthday? We don't celebrate anyone else's birthday. When it was Braun Strowman's birthday, Braun didn't come out and go, ha ha ha, feed Braun some jobbers. No, that's not how this works. Like, what?
I mean, that would be
doing,
entertaining.
It would actually, yeah, I'd love to see that. But the reality is, that's because it's Braun Strowman. And he's a fucking star. And the funny thing is, these two were wrestling each other 3 or 4 months ago. That's how ridiculous things have gone. So, Kalisto, I'm sorry, right? When you say to the audience, right, we're celebrating Kalisto's birthday, what you're saying is, okay, so he's worthy of having his birthday celebrated. So what you're saying to the audience is, he's more important than you. That's essentially what I'm getting the vibe of is, ha, look at Kalisto. Look at how fun it is to celebrate his birthday. Not you, though, you peasants. Nobody cares about your birthday. Like, what? Who thought this was a good idea? Who wrote this garbage? Has somebody managed to somehow shoehorn in Vince Russo into the backstage area without anybody noticing him? Because cake, copper party favours. You know, like,
oh my God.
That. Why is like Drew Gulak being abused by Enzo Amore despite being far, far more intellectual and superior to him in every sense? Like, why is Drew Gulak like, My favorite thing of all of 205 Live was when Enzo Amore went off on one, and then he turns around and goes, "How are you doing?" And he's just like, "I swear to God, no. Like, just generally quite furious. Drew Gulak, incredible. Drew Gulak needs to get the fuck away from this cancerous show right now. He needs to be on Raw. He needs to be on SmackDown. He needs to be somewhere where he can thrive and work with people who aren't just flippy-doo wrestlers. He needs something more. He does. He really does. He's worthy of that. Give him an opportunity on the main roster. I would love to see Drew Gulak going after, you know, a sport. Or even better, Drew Gulak would be a fantastic foil for a tag team. Maybe like a new Mouth of the South, a posh Mouth of the South like Jimmy Hart was. Put him with a good tag team that needs a little bit of a boost. You know, some tag team that's got a little bit of comedy. There's so many dynamics that he can work, and he's wasted. And this main event, frankly, was so boring. I cared very little about this. And the payoff was Kalisto jumps Enzo backstage and shoves his face in the cake. You want cake? I'll give you cake.
The cake's a lie.
The cake is a lie. It's a huge lie. 205 Live is a huge lie. What did you think of the whole cake dynamic, the birthday celebrations, and the match overall?
You're right with Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak needs to pack his bags and get onto the main roster as soon as freaking possible. Honestly, you're gonna hate me, but we need to revive Right to Censor. Warning.
I would happily take the Stephen Richards DVD over this shit at the moment.
Right, but we kind of need to, if he comes onto the main roster, he needs to keep doing what he's doing, and he needs to revive that. He just does, because quite honestly, that would be entertaining and it would be something to do. But we need to partner him with someone who's got physical charisma as well as actual charisma. So I don't know who you'd partner with.
Get his brother on the roster. His brother, like, is almost, I think, I'm not sure if he's a twin brother or not. They look very similar. But his brother's on the indies, and they're part of the Amazing Gulaks, which was almost like a traveling circus kind of thing. It was very cool. And I would love to see that. Like, I've been scrubbing up on my Drew Gulak knowledge even more now, and like, I've been checking out his brother on any independence and stuff. I'd like to see that. I think there's potential there, but of course WWE won't do that because that's entertaining and funny. And you don't
get any fucking entertainment. You get what we fucking tell you to get.
You know, it's that kind of funny. I despair with it. And to be honest, 205 Live, right? This summed up 205 Live brilliantly. Great wrestling. Some of the best you'll see in the entire WWE. Problem is, nobody gives a flying fuck because the writing is tantamount to a six-year-old's picture book. It's pathetic. Give these guys content or just don't bother. The crowd has
absolutely no reason. That's insulting to the six-year-old.
Yeah, it is, because there's absolutely no way a six-year-old would be stimulated intellectually by this whatsoever. So that was 205 Live. It's a shame because there were some fun moments and the wrestling was great. And thank God it was only an hour. If this was 2 hours, I might have put a loaded shotgun in my ear. But the reality is, it's only an hour. So let's talk about how we can fix it. Do you have any ideas before I go on a rant?
Let's start at the beginning.
Let's be positive, Dexter Critchman. Let's fix things. Let's not break them.
Well, we're going to start fixing things by breaking them. Enzo, get the fuck off the show. Kalisto, love you. Love you dearly. I made a mistake. Get off the show.
Good show.
I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I was
Someone
right.
Someone made a mistake when they gave birth to Enzo Amore, frankly, but never mind.
Oh.
Burn. Savage. Ooh, savage. Come at me, bro.
300 savage. Boom.
Oh, by the way, Carl, if you're listening, I am using the word lit so much just to irritate you now. Let's anyway, call the section as lit, fam.
Oh my god. Anyway, how else to
help
fix this?
Improve 205 Live.
Indie stars. Literally make it a indie showcase. If we're going to NXT do more of this, not just NXT, like well established indie stars come in NXT from
who's on NXT?
I'm talking
Adam Cole. Chris Hero.
I think, honestly, an injection. Literally, all I'm talking about is indie stars of the local area to try and drum up some sort of interest in the local area. Because quite honestly, that's more what we need right now is we've got a dead crowd. We've got a crowd that is very uninterested. If we could bring some people in, like, say, some of the local indies in the area and just have them come in, like, say, for a match, we might get to drum up a little bit more attention, which actually draws me to a point that we've covered time and time again, and I'm going to beat a dead horse again. They need to take the show to a small arena on the road and maybe even partner with NXT to do it.
Yeah, no. Did you have anything to add before I jump in?
Nope, go for it. Your turn. Tag
right.
in.
First, right, thank you. He's got the hot tag, my God. So, let's get down to fucking business. I'm getting my shovel out because I've had enough of this. First of order of business, take it off of SmackDown Live entirely. Get it off of a fucking TV show as a tag-along. Ah, once you finish watching the superior product with all the great guys and the Raw Invasion, perhaps you'd like to stick around and watch a load of midgets jump around for a bit. No, terrible idea. Terrible marketing. Get it in front of the show. If you're going to have it joined with SmackDown Live, air it first. Live. Air it first live. Have them warm up the crowd. Instead of having some bullshit warm-up match with Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews fingering each other with a banjo, how about you fucking put these guys in there first?
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly. Do you know what? If the crowd's going to be uninterested anyway, then you may as well give it to them first, because at least by the end of this, they're going to get excited, because they're going to think, by the end of 205 Live, right, SmackDown's coming along now, so I can get into it more, so they might get a bit of buzz at least. And they might, by the end of the 205 Live main event, they might be getting hot about it, because there have been moments when they have been excited. So that's number one. You need to have it before anything else, because what you're saying to your fans is stick around after SmackDown Live and, you know, oh, if you just put up with 205 Live for an hour, guys, we might give you a John Cena appearance or a Dean Ambrose match or something along those lines. So, you know, just tolerate all our special kids running around. No, you're mistreating the product.
No, you need to actually, this is one thing WCW got right. When they had a cruiserweight match, they were the opener. They were the first hour, they were the opener or the mid-card. This gave excitement for what was happening after during hour two. Literally the first part of Nitro when it aired was we got a standard fare match and a cruiserweight match as the first two matches. Usually a TV title match, if TV title need to be defended, and a cruiserweight match. And those two set the stage for hour two, which we got a little bit more hard-hitting stuff. And that was a great dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my first real thing. It needs to be the opener. It cannot follow anything. Because if it does, it's going to look poor by comparison. If it's out there first, it can only get better. If it's out there last, it can only get worse. Second order of business, it's time for a reshuffle. Kalisto, get out. Enzo Amore, get out. Akira Tozawa, get out. I know that's going to hurt a lot of people. I like him, but he's boring. Revamp him or get him out or send him to NXT. For the love of God, do something decent with him. The same with a lot of these guys. Mustafa Ali, gimmick or put him somewhere else. There are great workers on here, but do you know what the problem is? It's the same fuckers every week as well. Every single week I see the same guys, okay? It's always Mustafa Ali, it's Arya Daivari, it's Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann basically are doing all the wrestling right now, I've noticed. They are on every week without fail. Jack Gallagher, the Brian Kendrick. Do you know what? Those guys are fine. Leave those guys alone. They can sit in the middle of this show and have a great match every week, and you can rely on them for some great wrestling product. Freshen it up. First order of business, we need NXT guys doing both. Okay, you're NXT guys, right? I've noticed when I watch NXT, there's a lot of rotation because they don't have enough time and enough room to get everybody on the show. Simply put, you can have NXT guys on 205 Live making rare appearances. Maybe, special attraction on 205 Live this week, Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black in a rematch from NXT TakeOver. You could have that as your special attraction on 205 Live. Perhaps you could incorporate more talent. You know what? Another thing as well, have main roster guys pissing about with 205 Live every now and then. think about NXT when it first started. You had Cesaro come down and wrestle Sami Zayn. Creamy goodness. You had CM Punk come down and talk to members of The Shield. Creamy goodness. You had Jack Swagger coming down. You had Rusev come back. You had the Wyatt family come back. You had all these different people who were either in NXT or wanted to test themselves with it. Do you know what? Main roster talent were constantly coming down and having one-off appearances and one-off matches with people. You even had You even had Paul Heyman come down once preaching about the product. Do you realize how much gravitas that brings to your product? Because people are like, holy shit, did you see Paul Heyman was on NXT this week? What? NXT, that tiny little developmental thing. Going to have to start watching that if they're going to start cracking things like that out. Give people a reason to watch. Think about it. If Paul Heyman comes out on 205 Live and says, do you know what? This show has some potential. And do you know who would make a great Paul Heyman guy? Someone like an Arya Daivari. All of a sudden, people are like, what? Because his voice carries gravitas. It carries projection. People listen to him. They care about what he has to say. People don't care about what Enzo Amore has to say because he's already become boring and flat because he's out there every week spewing the same boring shit. Okay? Nobody cares. So, interactions. Imagine if Seth Rollins tips up one week and goes, I keep hearing about how great this fucking Cedric Alexander is. So why doesn't he come out here and prove himself against a real star? And then you get Seth Rollins versus Cedric Alexander, and then all of a sudden the internet creams its pants. That kind of stuff will fucking make money. That will bring eyes on your product. It's all about who's looking at your product. And that kind of thing is going to help no end. I have more if you're willing to listen.
Quite honestly, we wrapped up 205 Live in banger all time, and
yeah.
NXT is fairly quick, so let's roll on.
Well, I have something that involves NXT. 205 Live needs to be, it's not a brand, is it? It's just the dumb shit stepchild of Raw. That's what it is. It's like, we'll just change the ropes into purple, but it's still technically Raw. So if you want to keep it
Raw at the moment on Raw,
fine. Do you know what you need to do? You need 205 Live to have a chip on its shoulder. So how do you create a chip on a kayfabe product shoulder? So think about it. Everybody knows 205 Live shit. Everybody knows it's failing. So let's embrace that then. Fuck it. If you're going to go all in, go all in. So say to people, have the wrestlers coming out every week and saying, do you know what? It's not great here. I'm not happy. I'm not having fun. I don't enjoy being a part of 205 Live. This sucks. Have people say, have people come out and cut good promos and, you know what? I should be on Raw. I should be on SmackDown. And then have...
I'm here anyway.
Exactly.
I have to be on both shows anyway. Why the fuck am I not on the main roster? What's wrong with me?
Exactly. You need to create dissension. And then what you do is you have them snap and attack NXT. How come you get the spotlight? How come people like watching you? You're developmental. We're the stars. We're supposed to be main roster guys from Raw. How come Aleister Black's getting all the attention? Imagine it. Imagine it. NXT's rolling along nicely. Drew McIntyre standing in the middle of the ring. You know, oh, I'm the fucking... Drew McIntyre. Yeah, he's giving it all that about being the champion. About how great it is to be part of NXT. And then all of a sudden, he just gets fucking blindsided by Tozawa. He gets kicked square in the back of the air by a Tozawa. Then a fucking someone of that kind of, maybe a Mustafa Ali, launches out of the crowd and jumps over you. Have these things. Have the invasion angle. Have 205 Live with such a beer in the bonnet. You're like, you know what? If we are not going to take it seriously, maybe we should just take your time over. Create dissension. Create new rivalries. And then, if it's still not working on 205 Live, because then you can have NXT retaliate. Aleister Black just arrives out of nowhere and appears behind Enzo Amore. And Enzo Amore is like, oh, what do we got? Boom, Black Mass, put down the champion. Create interest, create excitement, create dissension, create partitions so that people have to pick sides. You know, the Raw and SmackDown thing's working. They built the angle of when is Raw going to invade SmackDown really well, actually, for all the shit we gave it. By the end, people lost their shit when Raw invaded SmackDown this week. You can do something similar with NXT and 205 Live, but you have to work hard at it. Those are the gist of my ideas. There are many other little things you can do. I agree with your premise. Get it in a smaller audience. The crowd's too big. They're not invested. They're not close up on it. At NXT, you've got a small amount of people. It's a darkened room. They're right in there with you. They feel like they're part of something. They feel like whenever... let's be honest, right? The reason they love the Street Profits isn't because they're good. It's because they get to say they're a part of the Street Profits growing up. They get to say, oh, you know, I saw the Street Profits before they were cool. When you see someone like Big E or The Shield running around on Raw or SmackDown, some people are saying, ah, I got to see him when they were on NXT. I saw Roman Reigns when he was this small, you know? I saw Big E Langston when he was NXT champion when none of you fuckers even knew who he was. That's cool. It's like a fresh band. How often have you heard a band before anyone else? And then as soon as they become commercial, you think, eh, I'd rather go and listen to something a little less commercial, you know? Something that's more personal to me. Because, you know, they're too cool for school now. I want something that's edgy and different. I want to be ahead of the curve. And that's why NXT is so good. That's why people love NXT so much. Because sometimes NXT isn't actually that good. But because it's always the beginning, people think, oh, I'm part of something. The reason why Emma works so well on NXT is because it's like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, we can dance along with Emma because there's not that many of us. We're a quirky crowd anyway. And we're part of her development. You're not part of anyone's development once they're on Raw and SmackDown because you're not living a journey with them. You're simply just watching them as stars. Whereas on NXT, and, you know, 205 Live could be this way as well if you really wanted it to. So there are plenty of options. But we've mentioned NXT. Should we jump into NXT?
Let's get to NXT. If we've got more comments, we can get back to them.
Sure. Eminence! Resistance!
You are not NXT! We are NXT! We tried to do it your way. And what did I get? Nothing!
Oh my God! Is that a call?
It's Adam Cole!
What the hell?
Adam Cole, baby! What the hell?
Adam Cole! Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fishton treasures to be another.
Do you know what? I get the impression of NXT. It's fun, but do you remember me saying to you a while back, I could happily just watch the takeovers and I'd probably be all right. Because I don't feel they do. And that's how I'm feeling right now. Because this show wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was kind of irrelevant in a lot of ways. So I'll leave it up to you for once. I'll pose it. I'll give you a bit of freedom here because, you know what? You've probably got plenty of opinions. What jumped out at you most from NXT this week? What, to you, was the highlight?
And this is going to sound really stupid. The two promos. The War Games promo and the Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream promo. Nothing else really got me excited. Not even the, you know, attacking of the champ. There was nothing really that excited me. Let's see here. The Cassius Ohno and I can't even think his fucking name right now.
Lars Sullivan.
Help. Yeah, Bors Sullivan. That's right.
Yeah, boring.
Absolutely droll and boring. The tag match. Oh, look, we have Italian jabronis that are hopped up on steroids versus token black men who steal shit. What the fuck? What the literal shit?
Line. Might be one of your best lines on part two ever.
What the literal fuck? This is supposed to be NXT. This is supposed to be developmental. Not, I'm developing my brain. Ugh. Literally, the only two things that were good. The only two really good things on this were two promos for something that's going to happen in 3 days. 3 days from now. Well, actually, we're recording it, so 2 days from now. Spoiler alert, we record this on Thursdays.
They know. I'm always honest with them.
I didn't know if they knew or not. Regardless, we recorded this on Thursdays, but 2 days from now, we're going to have NXT TakeOver War Games. We're going to all lose our collective shits. But right now, I'm losing my collective shit because this fucking episode, The only thing I really liked watching was a pair of promotions for something that's going to happen later. What the literal fuck?
Yeah. Spot on. I enjoyed that rant immensely. Cassius Ohno had a stare down with Lars Sullivan. Ember Moon had a throwaway match with Mercedes Martinez. Like you said, Homeless Primetime wrestled Santino Morella's love children. Whatever.
One stop. Ember Moon, love you dearly. You're a great wrestler. Mercedes, you need to pick someone else to develop with because, quite honestly, no.
They like her a lot, don't they? Seem to be pushing Mercedes Martinez quite a bit. She's had a very storied career. I'm not here to knock on Mercedes Martinez. She's phenomenal as an indie wrestler. I do wonder whether she has the potential to cross over onto WWE-style television. Ember Moon has the character that goes with it. I don't want to be cruel and cut her off immediately until I've seen her have more opportunities, but she's been on the product a bit lately, and she's still not jumping out to me. What she jumps out to me as is very much like a Danny Burch, a Martin Stone. Great overall wrestler, but until you give them something to really get their chops into and you give them a gimmick and a personality, they are just that, a good hand. That's all they are. And that's the problem with Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. And then they put them in a tag team and you get excited. Do you know what? As an aside as well, I don't care
about
Santino Morella's love children. I don't care about the Street Profits. How about you give us Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch as maybe the 1-2 combination? The one of them does the one finger, doesn't he? And the other one does the two. Call them the 1-2 combination or, you know, the 1-2 punch. Anything you like.
There you go.
Give them a name.
1-2 punch.
Give them the same ring gear. The 1-2 punch sounds fine because it's simple and it's effective. And that's exactly what they do is they punch you in the fucking mouth. And make them a bruiser tag team like The Revival. They've got every opportunity to be just like The Revival. Throwbacks. We punch you in the fucking mouth. We're not interested in backflipping off shit. They could be really fucking good. But you don't want to put them on the product. Why not? Put them on the damn product.
Right. And quite honestly, small rant. They need to take Mercedes and put her against Ruby Riott because Sonya Deville actually would put a better matchup against Ember Moon. The two styles would clash actually fairly nicely and it would work very nicely. Just saying.
Yeah, no, you won't get to scream from me. I'm not a huge fan of Sonya Deville anyway, because I find the MMA fighter, who doesn't say much, very jarring, frankly. You're not Brock Lesnar. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make a female Brock Lesnar out of her, but I don't think she's got enough charisma or potential to burst out.
She needs a mouthpiece if you're going to do that.
Yeah, like Paul Heyman would look fantastic alongside a female MMA fighter. There's no reason why he can't, or someone of his ilk can't come down. You know, I don't know. I just, this whole show.
Female adoption from Author of Pain?
Yeah, exactly. Sonya Deville would be great as a female member of the Authors of Pain. How good would she be with the Authors of Pain?
That would be, you know what? There you go. Done.
Just like Nikki Cross is Sanity's female lead, she could be the Authors of Pain's female lead. Can you imagine at War Games, Nikki Cross gets involved in the match somehow, manages to climb in a cage, and then all of a sudden, Sonya Deville bursts out. Everyone's like, what the fuck is she doing here? And she starts beating the shit out of Nikki Cross, battering her against the cage. Everyone's like, what is she doing? And Paul Ellering just gives her a thumbs up. And then the Authors of Pain just smile at her and nod as she decimates Nikki Cross. And people are like, what the fuck? How cool would that be? Interesting. There you unique. Go. There you go. There you go. We've written something good for Sonya Deville. Book it, goddammit.
Too late.
I'm going to get on the blower to William Regal in a minute. Oi, William, got a cracking idea for you, Governor. Maybe you want to pay attention to what I've got to say. Talk to me for a moment, William. Let me talk to you about business, because I understand business. Talk to me. Gold Cockney dealer on him. He'll love that. Nick Paintsbury creamed his pants at my terrible Cockney accent. I apologise in advance. I'm not a real Cockney like you. So, yeah, NXT overall. I mean, I'm excited for the matches, but the promo package for Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black really was the standout moment for me. Oh my God. This has got to be amazing. Please don't be a one and done. I actually want to see them go like a full 6 months with this, because then once Black's done dealing with this shit, then he can go after the champ. Then Black can be the all-conquering master of NXT. But until then, I like this dynamic, and there are video promos that can be had. I want to see more darkness. I want to see Velveteen Dream walking around the church that Aleister Black cuts his promos in, smashing it up, maybe mocking it, making. I want him to like really test the boundaries. I want his sexuality to vibe through this. I want to see his sexuality insulting, like, you know, the calm religious nature of the Aleister Black environment. I want to see all of that. I want to see them push boundaries and say, you know what? Fair enough. Vince McMahon in his bullshit Donald Trump ways, he doesn't want to push boundaries. We'll fucking do it for you down here on NXT. Let's have Velveteen Dream push all the buttons. I want to see him wind up people of a religious nature, people of a Donald Trump nature. I want to see him going all out, getting all topical and political on people. I want to see it get real tense in there. And I want to see Aleister Black kicking people's fucking heads off for a living.
And you know what? What you can do is actually make Aleister Black grow from this.
I'll tell you what, mate, I'm growing just watching this rivalry. And when I say growing, I'm getting an erection.
Ha, man force. Anyway, regardless, what you can do is then make Aleister Black's character grow from this entire experience and have a little bit more kinked point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, because right now he is stone cold killer.
Very straight list.
Let him have the... Yeah, he is very straight list in a lot of ways. And coming out of this, I'd like to see him understanding the different side of things a bit more. Getting in people's heads a little bit more. Understanding the fact that, do you know what? I'd like to see him after this rivalry say, I remember what Velveteen Dream did for me, you know, mentioning the rivalry, give it context, give it a history so that he can use it going forward. There's some wrestlers, right? How often does a wrestler have a chip on their shoulder? Maybe they get injured early on, like Sami Zayn got injured early on, and he still uses it today. He still talks about how he was injured in his debut on Raw and how that spurred him on, how he had a chip on his shoulder. This could be Aleister Black's chip. He could carry this rivalry with him. And what he learned from wrestling a Velveteen Dream, who is so far opposite of what he is, gave him perspective and depth to take on greater challenges and become the champion that he is in that moment. I'm just saying, at this point, it's probably best if WWE just writes up a couple of contracts and lets us write NXT into a live for them, because we know what we're fucking doing here.
Maybe not fully writing, but maybe as a consultation, because quite honestly, I don't think we could fully write some storylines for him.
I could, but that's because I have a writing degree and I have full faith in my potential. You, on the other hand, are used to being shoveled. So NXT overall, Dexter Critchman, your takeaway from NXT?
A pair of promotions that have me drooling for the freaking pay-per-view, but other than that, fuck off.
Yeah, it was, considering it was the build-up show, we didn't even mention the fact that Drew McIntyre got jumped by Andrade Cien Almas, who, by the way, is so good, and Zelina Vega. Like, the whole thing works beautifully. They're on fire, those two. They're so good. They are the sex of NXT. I fucking love them. Problem is, I don't really care for a Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas angle, because Almas... he's a great wrestler, but he works great by preying on the weaker, doesn't he? Like the way he played, remember when he wrestled Johnny Gargano at the last takeover? It was a great story because he was able to prey off of the fact that Johnny Gargano is not all there mentally. By the way, Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne next week on NXT, which basically is the recorded NXT they do at Take. So if you're at Takeover, you get to see all that good shit. War Games, the women's match, the Velveteen Dream match. You might get to see Chris Hero knock 10 miles of shit out of that cheap shit Lars Sullivan, but on top of that, as a pre-show, you get Dunne versus Gargano for the UK title. Fuck you! I don't even want to watch Survivor Series anymore. That is disgusting.
I want that ticket.
The fact that I've got to wait. All them fuckers, right? They get to see NXT TakeOver Live, which we do, but they get to see the Dunne and Gargano match. We have to wait until the following Wednesday to see it because they use that as the TV stuff for an NXT weekly show. I think, oh, you fucking assholes! I've now got to sit here and wait 4 days for Dunne versus Gargano. Will you wankers get to masturbate furiously over it in the arena? Unacceptable. I demand live streaming of that match. That alone is the main event of any show. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, NXT as a whole, I just didn't care. I just didn't care. And that kind of sums up NXT and 205 Live lately. They're good shows, but they don't give you anything to care about. Perhaps 205 Live could have its own takeover too. Small time pay-per-view. Put it in a small arena in front of 2,000 or 3,000 people. Give them cheap tickets. Make it a fun event. Have some dream matches in there. You know? Use that chance to get more in the roster. But the problem is they don't have enough on the roster. There's one match representing 205 Live at Survivor Series, and it's between Kalisto and Enzo Amore. Who gives a fuck, really? Who honestly gives a shit about that? They're two of the least interesting guys on 205 Live for me right now. I think it's time they get the belt off of Enzo Amore, they get Kalisto out of there, and they start seriously thinking about putting someone like Cedric Alexander at the top of the guard, because, my God, he's an incredible worker. What he lacks in fantastic mic work, which is not that bad on the mic, but he's not great either, he could make up for with his quality of matches. There are people in there who could easily be main eventing. You need to freshen it up. Although, news has it, Neville will be returning soon.
Oh.
Which will pique my interest greatly. This show needs Neville to save it badly. Bring back Neville. The British Destroyer!
Neville needs to come back really, you know what really badly.
Neville could come back and he could have Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch in tow. And they could be the Destroyers. And so, you know what? I'm tired of your shit, and they could fucking decimate the roster, and they could be the proper undisputed era of 205 Live. That would be badass. See what I mean?
I still hate
I'm
that
full
fucking
of ideas. Name. Yeah, it's a horrible name. And by the way, how little do we give a shit about Adam Cole at this point? My God, nobody gives a fuck. He was supposed to be the motherfucking entrant. Remember when he attacked Drew McIntyre at NXT Takeover? It was like, oh my God, it's Adam Cole! Everyone was losing their shit. 3 weeks later, it's Adam Cole. Great, cool, don't care. By the way, you've got Red Dragon on the roster, and yet you're pushing Street Profits. What is wrong with you? They are one of the greatest indie tag teams ever. Ring of Honor, multiple time tag team champions, rivalries with people like Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, the goddamn Briscoes, and you're fingering yourselves over a couple of homeless crime time motherfuckers. Please, please do something smart here. You idiots. I think it's time we wrap it up, don't you?
We're going to wrap it up actually by saying I went to an indie promotion.
Talk to us about your indie appearance.
It was shit.
It was shit.
Showtime Wrestling Productions.
Oh dear, it sounds shit. You know what they call those shindies when they're shit indies? They call them shindies.
Yep, it was not It wasn't even in a bingo hall or a National Guard armory. It was in an Eagles club. So there's that.
Okay. Anyone good? Anyone good?
The only major draw was Ring of Honor star. I'm having a hard time. He reminds me of Danny Burch.
Is he bold?
Yep.
Is he white?
White American, Destroyer. Oh, no, brutal. No. That
wasn't Silas Young, was it?
No. Brutal. What's
not the
BSC
Bruiser.
No, brutal.
See a fat piece of shit.
Hold on, cell phone. I have an image of the promo poster. Hold on.
All right, while Dexter Critchman's doing that, let me discuss PvP very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday it is Survivor Series, which means Smart Plug PvP, which means predictions for a pot vinyl. One of you lucky fuckers might be able to topple me, the champ, and become the new Smart Plug PvP champion and take home a juicy pot vinyl, because we will give one of you, or the winner of said PvP, a free pot vinyl on us. A WWE pot vinyl, might I add. So, with that in mind, there are 8 matches at the series. Bob Evans. Never heard of him. So, we'll get back to the shindies in a moment. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, 8 predictions. There are 8 matches at Survivor Series. We need a prediction for every match of who's going to win. Not who's going to lose. Not who's going to fucking turn on anyone. I don't care. I just want the goddamn winners. Stop sending me your fantasy booking. I appreciate that you think I've got time to read it, but I don't. So, don't forget, send in your 8 predictions, but we also have 3 tiebreakers. Now, the idea with the tiebreakers is to help separate the winners should there be an issue. Now, we needed tiebreakers to separate people last time round. There is good reason for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, 8 predictions. Now, the only way you can send them in is by DMing them to us or by emailing them to us. So DM them to at the Smart Plug on Twitter or email them to us, thesmartplugpodcast@outlook.com. So you've got 8 matches all in all. Those are on the pinned tweet. If you're struggling to find out what they are, the pinned tweet on our profile will give you them all. I will quickly run them down for you. We need a winner of Enzo Amore versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight title, The Miz versus Baron Corbin in the interpromotional match. We need a winner of Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, men's and women's matches. Tag Team Champions Cesaro and Sheamus versus SmackDown Tag Team Champions The Usos. Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. The Shield versus The New Day. And Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. We need a winner for every single one of those matches. And these following tiebreakers. Who is the final man or men standing in the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown Live Men's Survivor Series match? Between Raw and SmackDown, who is going to win the most matches on the entire pay-per-view? And who is eliminated last in the Raw versus SmackDown Live Women's Survivor Series match? We need those to be DM'd to us by Saturday night, preferably. Basically, if I wake up Saturday morning and I don't have your predictions, then as soon as I wake up, I'm going to basically close the gate. The doors will be shut on PvP. And if you've not got your predictions in by then, they will not count. So do not forget a prediction. Do not forget a tiebreaker. Because if you do, it's going to be on you. I'm not chasing you up for it, guys, because there is a lot of people involved and you appreciate I do put in a lot of work. That being said, on a nicer note, thank you very much to everyone sending in their amazing video promos. We love and cherish all of them. They're fantastic. They're great fun. And rest assured,
gets me
we
through
will
the
be
day.
Continuing to do it. Yeah, it's getting me through the day, to be honest. Both myself and Dexter Critchman have some rough times at times. And these things help us tremendously. So thank you very much. But please, guys, make sure you get those predictions in. And of course, as an incentive, because we always do an incentive, Dexter Critchman, hit them up with the incentive.
So this week, we decided to do something a little different. We're doing a bit of trivia. So for the TakeOver, it's a 3-man War Games match. There was another 3-team War Games match through WCW. I want you to go look them up and give me the name of all 3 teams.
That's right. So if you want a point advantage in our PvP, that means you'll start 1-0 before we've even got down to any matches. That's insane. That's extra value for money, goddammit. If you want that, you want that extra point advantage, which has frankly worked very well for past winners, then you need to send us DM or email. You need to let us know who the 3 teams were in the WCW War Games match back in the WCW era. If you can find that out and let us know, you'll get a point advantage. If you can't let us know, you won't get a point of advantage. It's as simple as that.
There is one caveat to this. It does not count for any either. It does not count for our Survivor Series tag team match. So, teams?
Yes, because we felt it would be unfair for Team Shit and Team Shovel. We want it to be on an even keel. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, because I know a few people messaged me and said, look, I'm not on Team Shovel or Team Shit. I didn't get an opportunity. I apologize, but we wanted it to be even teams. 5-on-5 is the traditional thing, so we thought we'd cap it there. My apologies to anyone. You can still obviously enter PvP. You just won't be involved in that match. Frankly, any more, and it would get a little bit clusterfucky if we're being honest. The 5-on-5 dynamic works well. There's going to be loads of opportunities to get involved, guys, so don't feel left out. We've got the Royal Rumble coming up. We got something very special involved for that. Rumble. All I'm going to say is sweepstake, baby. Sweepstake. Look out. Look out. Royal Rumble is going to be insane. It's going to be a lit, fam.
No, I can just hear Kyle go,
stop saying lit. It's going to be lit AF. That's what the kids say. Lit AF. Lit as fuck. It's lit. Do you know what else is lit, Dexter Critchin? My candles. Everything's lit. That's right. That's a shitty dad joke right there. Shall we wrap it up before I go too insane?
Now, going back to the shindies, Brutal Bob Evans.
Tell us more about shindies. Brutal Bob Evans.
So, was the
which
old,
sounds
the only...
shit in itself.
Actually, he wasn't that bad, considering he showed that he was an actual professional. The problem is, everyone on that fucking card had no trust with each other, and you could tell every single fucking punch and every single fucking spot was gingerly laid out for everyone, and no one knew how to take a fucking bump. And I'm going to rip into the girls. There's about three girls on there that were worth a shit. They had a freaking a timed release gauntlet match, which is fucking weird as hell.
That
and it opens
weird.
Up. It was weird as hell. The first girl walks in, literally sits on her cell phone, and literally kills time as the she was a heel entrant. She kills time on her cell phone as the first face entrant comes in, and they literally killed time until the fucking bruiser heel showed up. And then wreck shop of face, and apparently they're buddy-buddy. And it's like, this is incredibly dumb and stupid. Why? No.
Showtime Promotions.
It's fucking showtime.
So,
America, ladies and gentlemen.
Now you understand why when I heard you like indies, I'm like, what?
Yeah. Do you know what I went to see as an indie promotion? I went to see Revolution Pro Wrestling's Global Wars
Night
2.
Fuck yourself.
Oh, who was on that card? Oh, don't worry. It was only the guy who's going to main event Wrestle Kingdom Night. Oh, don't worry about it, mate. It's fine. Like Tetsuya Naito is wrestling. Oh, he's tagging up with Bushi to wrestle Keith Lee and Yuji Nagata, one of the most famous wrestlers in all of Japan. Yeah, don't worry about it. That wasn't even the main event. We had Matt Riddle versus Minoru Suzuki as well. That was the co-main event. Oh, along with the British heavyweight title, which was Zack Sabre Jr., a member of Suzuki Gun and NJPW, versus former NJPW Junior Heavyweight Champion Will Ospreay. Don't worry about it, though. It's cool. It's fine. Whatever. That's just some of the matches we got to see on one night of entertainment. Oh, that only cost me 30 quid. Not bad. Not bad at all. British independent wrestling shitting on everybody else. Yes, lads. Yes. Dexter Crinchman, anything to add before we wrap this shit up?
Nothing else other than stay safe this weekend. I'm currently going out of town, so I will not be joining you guys for the actual showing, but I will do my damnedest to try and be involved for the actual showing.
No, you're joking. That's what Dexter Critchman will be doing, if you can translate what I just said. But yeah, I think we'll leave it there, mate. Dexter Critchman, thank you very much for joining this week, man. It's been a pleasure.
It's always been a pleasure. I will catch you guys later and wrap us up, beast.
Absolutely, I will. We shall save the team shit and team shovel nonsense for after the pay-per-view. A gentleman's agreement, shall we say, for the sake of the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Weekend Universe Part 2. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'd like to know your feedback because we know that this show isn't garnering as much attention as the others. So please let us know what you think. If you're not really that bothered about hearing about 205 Live and NXT, we can shuffle things around. We do have some other podcast ideas in the pipeline, which I'll be discussing with Dexter Critchman as well. So don't worry, I won't leave the poor soul out of the loop. But we need your feedback. So please, if you're listening to this, please let us know what you think. If you want us to continue talking about 205 Live and NXT, let us know. If you're not bothered or you don't really care, also let us know. You're not going to offend anybody. At the end of the day, you know, we're doing it off of our own back anyway. So we're not going to be offended if you don't want to hear it anymore. Just say so, really. Just tell us what you think and be as honest as you need to be. But if you want to get at us, all our usual social media links are in the descriptions of every podcast, along with our friends, Taylor Talks and Mike's Open Journal, and of course, the Global Cameras Club. So keep an eye out for all of those. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, I have been Amaro Zanetti. He has been Dexter Critchman. And we will catch you very soon after Survivor Series for another podcast from the Smart Plug Galaxy. Take it easy, be safe, and don't forget your predictions and tiebreakers.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.